Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Squirrel Brooke. Hi, Squirrel.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everyone. So nice to be spending the 10-10 with many of you again.
Yes.
It's our anniversary, Jackie.
3 years.
3 years. Wow.
Yeah, and it only took me a year to recuperate.
It's only been 2 years.
I'm not going to be opening any stargates too soon, trust me.
Come on.
No. No. Last one on this planet. Well, maybe. I don't know. But for now.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah. No more. It was great fun.
It was really great fun.
And we got lots of new races that have come in as a result of it. So, I can't say it's all bad.
No.
No, it was an amazing couple of days. Okay, so tonight's show is live for all of those listening to it. And it is 10-10-13. How much love are you willing to receive? And this is really going to be one of my favorite shows in lots of ways. We all think that we're willing to be loved, but are we? What holds us back from believing that we're lovable? Our shame, our sense of being flawed, and our willingness to believe that what we all of, what? To believe that with all of our so-called flaws, we're still lovable. For whatever reason, we can't or don't see our own wonder and beauty of our soul. Because of that, we cut ourselves off from so much wonder, beauty, and receiving. We base so much of our value on what is being reflected to us without realizing that it is us creating it. It's our beliefs about ourselves that shut out and shut off the flow of love coming to us. Whether it be in relationships with a desired beloved, our friends, family, and our relationships with our higher self, soul, unseen friends, and most importantly, God, Goddess, and all that is. Tonight we explore how and why we cut it off and how to open to receive in ways that we've never done before. Okay, my darling Squirrel, it's astrology update time.
Okay, yeah, there are a few things. It's really fun. Okay, so this comes from, of course, one of my favorites, Elizabeth Peru, and she writes that the moon now is closest to the Earth. Can you feel the lunar vibe? Right now, the moon is making its monthly closest approach to Earth, and our intuition, perceptions, and cognitive abilities are turned onto high. So trust the energy which is moving you. Go with it, and you will be onto soul's desire for your life. Our lives have been...
Wait a minute. Say that one more time.
Go with it, and you will be onto soul's desire for your life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good one.
You got to like the moon stuff, right? So, our lives have been accelerated this past week in particular. This happens every 2 weeks before an eclipse season. Next weekend is the full moon lunar eclipse, and you are preparing now. I urge you to do your daily work and try not to shy away from any responsibilities that are yours. Why? Because if you do your daily work now and get on top of cleaning and sorting so that the real you is being represented, then come the eclipses, you will experience very positive happenings. Push your daily work away and the eclipses will make the changes for you. Better you get on with it now than have your hand forced by the universe.
I'm assuming that they're not talking about housework.
No, I'm sure Bonnie would have a comment or two to say about the daily work, right?
Certainly. Yeah. Certainly, she would.
Remember, nature's force always moves in the direction of life. You are part of that force, so go with it. Have an awesome end to your week. Now we have another one, which is from Hair in the Moon Astrology. And it's an important time. Today, Mercury is at its maximum distance from the sun, high in the heavens as an evening star. We're in this retrograde shadow, which means Mercury is going to go into retrograde pretty soon, in the approach to the retrograde starting on October 21st. this Mercury Max in Scorpio is a doorway into your unfolding story when a new narrative starts and the characters appear. Since Mercury is also known as Hermes, the god of the crossroads between heaven and earth, the way to navigate this approach is to work with the inner and outer at the same time. By reading the runes, scenting clues and synchronicities, trails of breadcrumbs. If you're only focused in the real, quote-unquote, world, then the slowness frustrates you. But when you're engaged in soul work, it's a sanctuary, a respite, a chance to bring the unconscious to consciousness. And perhaps that is a deeper point behind what is happening as we observe this theater of the absurd. We're finding out what it means to have a government at all, how all our lives are affected with and without it. The government does matter, and perhaps when all is concluded that maybe a third party does take shape, forming the next crux of the squares between Uranus and Pluto between now and 2015. And what that all means is anyone's guess. So, and then this last little blurb comes from Faye Bongolan from Planet Waves, and she writes, this is just part of what she wrote. This is a litmus test for our country, checking if we are still a republic. If we as a nation succeed even during this crisis, that is, we continue to care about our country's future and build on our desire to continue it, then given the polls showing growing disapproval of these terrible theatrics in Washington, it seems that we are. So, it's been a big week, right? I mean, I know that where I live, and I'm sure other people live near national parks, but it's pretty much shut down the economy here in Jackson with Yellowstone and Grand Teton closed to, oh my gosh, people have traveled from Asia. They spent their life savings to get here to see the parks and no way to get in. Or people having to move their weddings last minute because the parks are closed. It's, you know, and then, I don't need to get into it. I'm sure everybody's read the other stuff that's still open for those that are making these rules. But, yeah, it's been an interesting week, couple weeks.
It has been an interesting couple of weeks. And constantly challenging our beliefs, where we put our trust.
Right.
Also, our ability to flow love and to change outcomes and to work with our magic. You know, these are the times when we're called upon to participate from a positive perspective to make change. And this is where everybody needs to step up to the plate and remember who you really are, why you came. You have the ability to have positive impact rather than to stand back and be an observer. But I have to remind everybody of that, because as you're reading this, Squirrel, I'm thinking to myself, too, where the hell have I been? I haven't been assisting at all, and I need to get on the ball.
Assisting what?
Our job is to flow love into the circumstance for its highest outcome. Okay?
Yeah, I know.
To assist in moving this forward in a positive, loving, wonderful way. It's easy to stand back and say, they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong. And I've heard lots of people do that.
Yeah.
However, that isn't going to accomplish what we need to accomplish.
I agree.
And that's where we apply our magic.
I think that's why last week the team offered to invite them in so they would send more unconditional love to us so that we'd be able to flow more out.
There you go.
You know, it was like getting that energy boost that we need.
There you go.
They could see it was coming, that we were going to need that reserve.
That's right.
And it's so true.
Okay,
here we go.
Let's move on. I want to share this message from Bonnie. Hopefully all of you get this, but if not, that's okay too. It's written in my name, and if you've signed up for Bonnie's messages on her website, which I highly recommend, livealifeyoulove.com, as soon as the website comes up, it gives you the option to sign up for everything. These are the messages that come through here. This is from God. Dear Jackie, do you realize I'm only a breath away from you at all times? I know it seems as if I'm much, much further, but I'm not. I am right next to you now. Oh, don't be nervous, Jackie. The myths you've heard about me are not true. I do not judge ever. I love unconditionally. I do not punish ever, ever. I forgive always. Yes, I do see all of you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. However, I love every single part of you, and I know the parts of you that you don't like are simply the parts that need more love. My favorite statement here. And Jackie would really love it if you would love those parts of you just as much as the beautiful parts. The world does not need more self-condemnation, dear one. It needs more love. And the more you can love you, the more you can love others. I am here for you, rooting you on to the greater and greater levels of self-love. Dear Jackie, always and forever, with unwavering love, God. P.S. Self-love includes letting in my love. Do so, dear one. Please open your heart just a little bit further today and make the choice to allow my love to touch you, heal you, and change you. I think that's absolutely beautiful and so appropriate for tonight's show. And this tonight's show is kind of a combo of things. When I got Bonnie's message from God, some things I was dealing with, and it really hit home. This is another one from Steve Goodyear. I followed Steve for years and years and years, and I have to share this one. It's so cute. Faces of Love. Science fiction writer Isaac Asimov penned this humorous poem. Tell me why the stars do shine. Tell me why the ivy twines. Tell me what makes skies so blue, and I'll tell you why I love you. Nuclear fusion makes stars to shine. Tropism makes the ivy twine. Raleigh scattering makes skies so blue, and testicular hormones are why I love you. What happened to that poor man in the romance department? Actually, I suppose that what he lacks in inspiration, he probably makes up for in accuracy. And accuracy is fine, but I like some mystery too, and I don't want to analyze and dissect all of the wonder out of life. There's something mysterious about a pitch-black sky teeming with shining stars. Something causes my imagination to soar. And what about the mystery of nature? I can think of a few things so thrilling as that sense of awe that explodes in my heart when I see a brilliantly blue sky over snow-capped mountain peaks. And the greatest mystery of all, love. What is more mysterious than a deep and almost perfect love felt between two otherwise imperfect people? Love is mysterious, Robert Fulghum says. We're all a little weird, and life is a little weird, and when we find someone whose weirdness is compatible with ours, we join up with them and fall into mutually satisfying weirdness and call it love, true love. Perhaps love has many faces. The faces easiest to see are the ones of infatuation and romance. We speak of falling in love and feel, too, as if we are in free fall. This is the face of love that inspires songs and poetry and romance novels. But the face of love I appreciate most is not romance as much as I am drawn to it, but one I can always count on to be there. It is the face of love that looks more like commitment or devotion. Devotion of a parent for a child or of couples who've lived and loved together for years. This particular face of love is not a magnet that attracts two people to each other, but glue that holds them together for the long term. It is a face of love often seen on parents and grandparents and close friends who've been through good times and bad with one another. I recall a story about a husband and wife, this is so precious, who were engaged in a minor dinnertime disagreement. To the children's amazement, their father jumped up from the table, grabbed two sheets of paper, and said to his wife, "Let's make a list of everything we don't like about each other." She agreed and proceeded to write. He, meanwhile, sat and glowered. She looked up and he began to write. They finally finished. "Let's exchange complaints," he said, and they passed their list across the table. She glanced at his sheet and pleaded, "Give mine back." All down his sheet he had written, "I love you, I love you, I love you." I presume he gave the paper back, for their children remember that moment with humor and fondness. As much as I enjoy romance, it's commitment that I need the most. I need to know a love I can depend on, a love that says I will be with you through it all. I love you, and I will love you even when you may not be all that lovable, for sometimes I'm not very lovable either. You can count on me always. Maybe love is mysterious, but the kind of love, But that kind of love is solid, rock solid. And of all the faces of love, it's my favorite. This is a love that our higher self, this is the end of his story, beginning of ours. This is the love that our higher self, soul, spirit, God and goddess and all that is, as well as all our star friends and family, including the team, have for us. Solid, rock solid love. And yet we shut it out and shut it off. We forget to ask for help and let them in to assist us. We refuse to give up control. Why? This is a subject that we could discuss for hours and hours, but let's get down to the brass tacks. We don't believe we deserve love. Why? Shame, a sense of being flawed, all the crap we've stuffed into our shadow, those parts of ourselves that we believe are totally unlovable and unacceptable. And the times that we did things we believe make us unlovable. And we all have these stories, every one of us. Things that we feel very badly about. Places where we know we've made mistakes as parents, as lovers, as children of the divine. We've all done it. And yet if we go back to Bonnie's piece, you know, it fascinates me that humans really don't understand that there is no judgment from the other side of the veil. The infinite became nothing so it could become everything. Every one of us are a spark of the infinite, experiencing itself through us, becoming more of who it is because of what we do. Good, bad, right, wrong, regardless, without judgment, it's experiencing everything. So that's the reason that we need to experience the dark, so we can understand and appreciate the light. So for all of you who think you've made terrible mistakes in your life, regardless of what they are, it is just an experience. Bashar always said, every experience is neutral. You put the spin on it. That's truth. It's your judgment on it. It's not God's judgment on it. It's not any of our unseen friends. It's not our soul and spirit. It's not our angels. It's not any of that. Then there's the shame that's heaped upon us from birth by parents and others. Those that told us we aren't enough, don't deserve, and will never make it. Sometimes these messages are implied and sometimes they're spoken. I was doing a session with someone, and he said this numerous times, that his father used to say to him, big body, small brain, every time he'd make a mistake. It stuck to this day, and he continues to sabotage his reality because of his lack of deservability. He took that in so deeply, big body, small brain, and it's impacted his entire life. Now, his parent didn't realize that he was going to have that kind of a negative impact. And the only one that can change that is him, not the parent. The parent is gone. There is damage from emotional and physical detachment and abandonment. We experience it when we step down into physical incarnation. If you can imagine dropping down, getting smaller and smaller in energy and frequency, and finally feeling totally separated from Source, the infinite, abandoned and cast out with a terrible case of amnesia. Our welcome into the world is a tough journey through a very small canal, only to be greeted by a slap on the ass, terribly bright lights, and being torn from the only connection we've known for 9 months. We have a child and an adolescent who exist in time and space, and they're still dealing with all of their trauma, and until we spend time with them, love them, guide them into a new and happier life. They are helping to run our life that is far from perfect as children and an adolescent. And I can guarantee you one thing. I do not want my adolescent running my life, and I definitely don't want my child running my life. But this is our homework. It is what we all need to do. Then we wonder, why can't or won't I receive love? Each one of you have your particular stories of physical and emotional abandonment and abuse. No two stories are ever the same, because your realities are subjective, including the way that you experience and integrate them. This is proven over and over again by talking with siblings and hearing how differently they each experience their version of childhood and of their parents and of each other. Subjective reality. You know, the truth here, you know, Deepak Chopra has talked about this for many, many, many years. He was dispensing quantum physics long before people were reading quantum physics, about the fact that we spin our reality out of our brain. Okay? Literally, it's a hologram. So the way we experience everything is our particular hologram, influenced by our beliefs and attitudes, choices, decisions, thoughts and feelings, our intentions as we work with now. Beliefs, a huge one. We all put our particular spin on experience based upon our particular matrix that we bring into our incarnation, and that's another piece of it. We've talked about changing beliefs, writing intentions. We have the tools to work with our child and adolescent and give them what they desire. But there's still some holdout, some shame or imprint that says we don't deserve to be loved. Perhaps you don't trust yourself. Perhaps your anger at God and Goddess is so great that you refuse to allow their help. And I said this only if your life isn't humming and perfect, and I don't know many people who are. Or perhaps you really don't believe you deserve. And if not, why? What terrible thing could you possibly have done that makes you unlovable? And these are the things we really need to sit with, especially the times right now that you're describing, Squirrel, astrologically. You know, we've got a week before it's going to hit us anyway. So better that we do our homework, okay? And really spend some time thinking about these things.
I personally like the have present,
Yeah, I've mulled this over and over. We know that in order to attract love, we have to love ourselves. But what is your reason for not loving yourself? What is your holdout? Squirrel and I were talking before the show, and Squirrel said to me, "Well, I allow love from you. Why do I have to have a partner?" Well, you don't. But there was a time you were looking for one. Why didn't it work? I know I'm in that process right now. I am determined, absolutely determined, because that's the scientist in me. That doesn't sound very romantic, but I know that when I break through it, it gives me more material to help other people. Okay? I have no problem sharing my own personal foibles with others. I've done it a lot over all these years because I want to get to the bottom line. And again, in talking with Squirrel, you remember this. I don't ask for help enough. And Bonnie would say that's the first thing she does every day. I tend, you know, this is terrible. And, you know, I do this work. You'd think of all the people out there, I would welcome everyone in the morning and say, I always say good morning when I go into the healing room. But I stop there. I don't ask for help.
And Jackie, we got the hotline to help.
I know this is what's that, but I also don't ask questions. We know that this is a shortcoming in my personality structure. Maybe I feel like I'm cheating if I do.
Maybe, but I always thought if I ask for too much help, it sounds like I'm whining.
I've never worried about whining. That is not one of my shortcomings. I whine very well, thank you. So thinking about I'm not enough, I'm not rich enough, smart enough, pretty or handsome enough, accomplished enough, tall or short, thin or fat enough, these are all beliefs. But with God and Goddess, there is a sense that you haven't fulfilled some assignment or promise to them. You know, I talk to a lot of people. You know, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? Like God handed them a purpose written on a piece of paper, and they forgot. Okay, and therefore they're imperfect. Or perhaps they're still angry that they were cast out and cut away, feeling separate. And this is a huge one, everybody. You know, I've said this so many times, this is one of the few planets in the cosmos where we experience ourselves as separate from the infinite, which I'll use that as an overall phrase, from our source. That's why we project God onto Daddy and Goddess onto Mom. That's the whole framework for human consciousness. It lays it out. It's a blueprint. Then we project it out into the world to those things which are masculine and those things which are feminine, including partners, relationship with Mom and Dad, relationship with God and Goddess. As Bonnie's message from God says, there's nothing that is unlovable about you. So only you are the one believing that you're unlovable. Find the reason or reasons and heal them. Ask God, Goddess, all that is for help. All of your unseen friends, get to the bottom line. You all have all the tools. So do I. And it's not the 15 or 30 pounds you want to lose. It's not your looks or financial condition. It's not because you haven't discovered your purpose. And I want to just share something right here. I'll get back to this. I spoke with someone today. Again, just supporting the theory here. She fell in love with a man who is still living with his mother. He's in his late 40s. He's the man for her. He doesn't make a lot of money at all. He gets by. But that's the man for her. No question in her mind. Which blows the entire theory. This is a beautiful woman, very talented. Blows, and very well educated, blows the entire theory that you have to have a certain level of something in order to attract love. That's partnership love, but it includes all forms of love. All forms of love. I know people who have nothing that are adored. Absolutely adored. People cannot do enough for them. And all they are is loving. That's all. And funny. Remember that everyone is waiting to love you. And they are flowing love to you. And all you have to do is be willing to receive it. Asking them to fix your life is not the same. Dear God, please fix my life. I've made a mess. I need your help now. That's not valid. You are here to explore, expand, learn, become empowered to reclaim who you are. That was the agreement coming here. But love, no limit to that. And if you're willing to receive the love, I work on this all the time. Some people receive a lot of love and are unable to let it in. And I have to say, for all the years I've done this work, I've had so much gratitude from so many people. And it hit me about a year ago that I wasn't letting it in. I'm the slowest learner of all, just in case any of you are wondering.
So it's just a year ago? Are you serious?
Yes, because I was so concerned. This is actually a funny story. I was so concerned about not giving it to my negative ego. As I watched all the different teachers and, you know, gurus and so on and so forth, and I watched them make that crucial left turn where they became elevated and they had people sitting at their feet. And, of course, that just doesn't work well for me. I'm sure it's a judgment, but I have a philosophy about empowering anyone. I am not more than anyone else. And, you know, I think that it's really important to be able to allow in the love, appreciation, and gratitude and give it to you, but at the same time not give it to your negative ego. It's a tricky one. And I think, again, I'm just more sensitive to it than most. When you allow the love, you will be able to change your life in ways that you can't even imagine. And that I promise you, everybody. There is nothing, absolutely nothing about you that isn't beautiful and lovable. You know, you may have some personality traits. I know when I came here from Las Vegas, the girls had to teach me how to speak to people because I
Well, you didn't go out much in Vegas, so, you know.
No, I really didn't. I was pretty much locked up for 9 years.
So why you would ever think that you were arrogant and we're going to have this huge following of people? You had a reclusive life, I mean.
Well,
it is sort of paradoxical, right?
Right. Well, I was focus-driven. You know, I've always been focus-driven. And so, at least especially in this last 9.5 years, so I was so focus-driven. You know, I wasn't, you know, the sweet, cute, fun part of me. So I must have parked her in a closet somewhere. So I had to unlock and let her out. And and remember that when I went to a restaurant, not to tell them that their windows needed to be washed. You know, it would be a good idea if they cleaned the silverware.
Well, you know.
Oh, dear. Okay. I know we have questions tonight, so I'm going to go into channel.
Glad you're getting out more, Jackie.
I'm on a very short leash.
You start asking for help and everything's just going to come together. Fine.
Well, this is one thing I do have to remember to do.
What? Yeah. Okay.
I do ask for help when I'm dealing with all these races, and
oh,
some
good.
Of them aren't
all
very
right.
Happy, but I do. All right. Well, we have to give her credit for being humorous. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to be with you. I'm very happy to be with all of you and with you, Squirrel. All right. Wonderful subject. And we have to say to all of you, being willing to receive love, if you can master this one, even come close, we don't expect mastery yet, but coming close, just letting in a little more love, being willing, allowing yourself to be loved. You know, it's an interesting phenomenon. As humans, you know, when you first meet people, you puff up a little bit. You know, you want to be on your best behavior and so on and so forth. Going to meet to in-laws or a new friend or a business associate. And then as you relax, while you kind of let yourself be more real and so on. How wonderful would it be to be so authentic that you're just yourself? Nothing more, nothing less. Feeling completely comfortable and confident in that ability. To be free enough to be able to laugh when it feels good and be filled with joy and humor and love and allow that love to flow through you willing to receive it enough to allow it to flow through. We've heard people say, well, I just can't love everyone. There's not enough to go around. I just can't do it. As though the love were coming from them. That's as foolish as saying there's not enough money to go around. When you're talking about energy, which is all money really is. Likewise with love. That's all it is. For those of you that meditate, and we highly recommend this, that when you meditate, open yourself and ask to receive love to allow it just to flow in and through. And allow yourself to feel it in every cell of your body, every organ of your body. Love. You can transform your health this way, by the way. Your cells are crying for love. We've talked many times about touching the body, knowing that every cell is a universe waiting to be loved, to receive love. We know that very seldom do any of you think about turning it into something physical. And especially you women who stand before a mirror criticizing your bodies. I'm too thin, I'm too fat, or I don't like this fold or that thing on my body. Instead of being willing to rub your hands gently over or hold them just above, infusing the body with love. Those places that you would criticize, including your face. Then you're receiving the love, passing it back to yourself. Amplifying it even more greatly. You see, as humans, you still don't understand how incredibly powerful you are and what transformation you can create. You want to do it out there, but not many of you think about doing it with you, on you, for you. That is the most loving thing you can do. You heal yourself. You're going to want to share that with others. Empower them to do it for themselves. Flow the love everywhere you go. We've been talking about love now for quite some time because it's that important. It is part of your journey here on the planet. It's part of what you did come to do. And if there was that little piece of paper that your purpose was written on, if you unfolded it, it would say love. That is your purpose. That is your purpose. Not critic. It's easy to sit back and criticize all that you see that's wrong. That does not serve to help one thing. Flowing love towards it does. And only when you believe in love and allow yourselves to receive it and feel it will you understand the importance of allowing it to flow through you and out into your world, and into your world circumstances, as you perceive them. To humanity, to the earth changes that you are seeing, for those that are going through dire circumstances. Remember that your act of love is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to everyone and everything. Everything. Every plant, every animal, everything. All right, dear Squirrel, you've got questions for us tonight.
I do. Okay. Your team. Let's see. This comes from Vicky, and she writes, I wonder if you would assist me in understanding and transmuting the energies I have been feeling. As you know, a challenge has been for me to receive love and own my power. Actually, the word power baffles, since this word has been seemingly overused in so many kinds of power, confusing to me and challenging to comprehend. As I go to sleep at night, wrapping myself up, calling in and stating I am willing to receive, to be loved, to be supported, and when I wake up, it feels like a fist in my solar plexus, which is twisting and turning, and my body vibrating. I have been releasing and clearing the fear-based beliefs about love and rejection, and something hidden about value and desirability where I hit a wall. Each day, I have been working on my beliefs and intentions. During the day, energy runs up to my heart, and I feel intense joy and sorrow at the same time. It is challenging to explain in words. The emotion and energy run up, tears stream down, and laughter bursts out all at the same time. A deep sense of knowing and unknowing, yet my mind says insanity. Even as I sit here typing this, a vibration sort of buzziness is running through me. It is interesting as I breathe deep and pray I am opening to the love so long ago forgotten, and that I have not felt here as I heal the illusion of separation that feels so real. I am grateful and appreciative of for any insights. Much love, Vicki.
All right, dear Vicki. Thank you for your vulnerability, dear one. All right, what we're going to say to you, Vicki. This is your own self-judgment, and also your negative ego, and you know all these, and your child and adolescent. There's still rage in there, Vicki, about the injustices that you experienced, the shaming that you experienced. They're still there. And there's a part of you, all right, that is afraid of your own power. Now, we're going to speak very specifically to Vicki, but this should apply to everyone in their own way. Each one of you have a very unique life experience, so it will apply differently for each of you. There is a fear of power because there's so much judgment about power and the misuse and abuse of power. One of your greatest fears is that if you step into your power, you could abuse it. And you would never think that that is the case in this situation. But it's an internal conflict that you continue to run. Can I trust myself to be powerful? Can I trust myself to be empowered, to have it all? Who would I be then? Would I have to give up my story if I had it all? Because for a very long time, your story has been struggle. And yet when we look at you, we see all that you have. And it's quite a bit. A loving husband, the wonderful work you do with the animals, And yet, the one that you question the most is you. And at this timing, all right, and remember, you just got a new car. At this timing, cars are power, by the way. You're still resistant to step into your power. I don't know if they're going to like me. Am I going to be okay? Is it going to be all right? And then the moment you step out there like a performer on the stage, beautiful things come out of your mouth and it all works. Many wonderful stories about people that stutter, but when they sing, they have beautiful voices. It's being out there and showing yourself and trusting that you won't abuse the power. This comes from a very deep part of you from a very long time ago. And we encourage you, dear one, to trust yourself now. That's the conflict you feel. Not insanity. It's conflict. It's a judgment that comes from a very long time ago. A choice made at a different time, on a different planet, and planets as a different race. Let go of the judgment. Forgive those other versions. Take them off the cross, so to speak. And step into the empowered version of you. It's right there, Vicky. It's standing right next to you. Just step one step to the right, and you're there. Know that we love you. You are capable of magnificent things. It's all at your fingertips right now. Stop turning away from it. One little tiny loss is nothing. You survived it. You survived it. With dignity intact, we recommend that you don't go into victim over that. Or martyr. Or hang on to the injustice. But to let it go and move on. That's the sign of the powerful being that you are. We love you, dear one. We hope this helped you. Next, Squirrel.
Well, Vicky also wrote in a little bit later. She said to me, "Hi, Squirrel. I'm not sure if you will have time to ask this. I wonder, just realized today is 10-10. Are the energies coming from the opening? Today there was some really strange energies. Even my horses and dogs are running around kicking up the dust as I was releasing emotions. One of the horses even kicked open the main gate and never left the pasture. I went to thank them for not adventuring out, and I could feel a calm stillness in the air and in my body. I'm feeling like a human energy trampoline."
Oh, good. Well, you know, again, what you all accomplished was really quite significant, just so you know. Anniversaries are not celebrated in the cosmos, all right? That's a human thing, all right? So all you're doing is opening up because of a significant date to you where you felt empowered and participated in something so extremely amazing. That means you're allowing more in. Let it be that. And it's coming through you, dear Vicky. All right? Through you. Now that's a big wink and a hint. A big wink and a hint. Hint. Please understand, everyone. the love of all of those beings that were touched on 10-10-10. Although it didn't happen right away for all of them, it came in after the fact. You are receiving the flow of that love. This is why we're doing this show tonight, in terms of opening to receive love. You have no idea the number of races that do love you, do know who you are, and do appreciate what happened. All right, next.
Yes, this question comes from Yolanda. Dear team, I would like to know how I could open my heart more to let love in even more. I've been trying really hard on opening up my heart to receive love from God and Goddess and all that is, and from all my unseen friends. At times I feel all this love flowing in me and where I love the whole world. I feel like I'm ready to receive all that love and to give love, but that strong feeling of love starts to kind of fade away, but not totally. I still feel that love in me, but not the way I would love to feel all the time. I would always like to have to feel that unconditional love in me no matter what. What can I do to open up more to receive that love that I want to feel all the time? With my sincerest gratitude, Yolanda.
All right, Yolanda. Meditate, practice. Remind yourself, wear a little rubber band around your wrist. You must snap it every time you feel a little cranky. Snap, all right, I'll open to the love. It's a process, dear one, and all of you are going through the process. You're not going to be perfect at it. It is a constant process. That's why you're doing all the work that you're all doing. It will become more and more natural. Just remember that and know that you're doing perfectly well. Know that we love you, dear one. All right, next.
That's it for our questions tonight.
Oh, the channel sent you one over from Kathy.
Hold on. I do have that. You're right. I'm sorry. We have one more question, and it's from Kathy.
Thank you.
Thank you for yesterday's session.
No last names, dear.
There's no last name. I don't know.
All right.
Okay. Dear team, thank you for yesterday's session. It's moving within me. I wonder if you can speak to this on the show tonight. I have an intense pain in my left side where my rib cage stops. It is also tightening up as a response to this in my left shoulder and up into my neck. Can you comment, please, on what energy is wanting to discharge from this area? Looking forward to your next session. Warmly, Kathy.
Okay, well, this is a lot of feminine energy related to the feminine. All right. A lot of heart energy right now that is trying to clear. If that's your question, Kathy. Based on your session, which we're very aware of since we were there, right? As we look at it, interestingly enough, there's a lot of withholding. Now you, only you, will understand this. There's a lot of withholding. As we spoke of earlier, Mom and Dad are blueprints, all right? Projections of God and Goddess. This is where you project God and Goddess onto them. And then on to relationships, male and female. And they can cross gender, they can cross over. You can project Mom and Dad onto someone. All right, both of them, for that matter. Or you can project Mom onto a man, or Dad onto a woman, depending on who's running the masculine and feminine energy. Now, that being said, there's a tremendous trigger here for you. because of your own childhood and background. All right. Where? Both parents were emotionally unavailable. You had a relationship, and you had a tremendous push-pull in that relationship. Replaying the emotional unavailability, even though you were the one doing it in many ways until the end. Terrified to truly allow it in. Projection, Kathy. All right. Playing out, mom and dad. We know that you'd love us to say, well, it had to be because of this past lifetime or that. And we will not say that that may not play into it. But again, a beautiful reminder, activation by someone who stepped into your life and was willing to give you the time to trigger the things that need to be healed, regardless of how it ended. Sometimes the bad guys in your life are the good guys. You just don't know it generally until the lifetime is over. Sometimes the ones that hurt you the most gave you the greatest gift, the opportunity through the process of discovery and healing, of finding a damage that if you can heal, you can open to real love and learn how to receive love, which is exactly what tonight's program is all about. Breathe deeply, dear one, and allow your heart to release the grief. All right? Release the grief as much as possible, and as you breathe in and out, see it flowing out of your chest, out of your ribcage, out of your shoulder, as you hold on for dear life. Breathe and release. And know that we're still working with you. And that we love you, dear one. All right, Squirrel, how are we for time?
We're coming down to the wire.
Well, what does that mean in minutes, dear?
Less than a minute.
All right, tonight, we would very much like to work with all of you to flow love. Again, we do this all the time. We ask you to open to receive. Dear team, I'm open to receive to all of my unseen friends. I'm open to receive the God Goddess all that is. I am open to receive to allow it to flow through every cell of my body and into my mind and my heart, my spirit. Our joy and our pleasure to be with each and every one of you. Know that we love you all so very much, Squirrel, you as well. And until we speak with you again in this format, namaste, dear one.
Namaste.
Good night, everybody, if we're not off. Good night, we love you.
Good night, Jackie. We love you,
good
too.
Good night, Squirrel.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.